Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to episode number 234 of the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast on a steamy Monday afternoon in New York. It is absolutely sauna-esque up here in this studio. We used to think and joke about how hot it was in the other studio. This is gross. If you hear a humming in the background, we have left the evaporative cooler. That's the best we can call it, because it certainly isn't an air conditioner, because it has conditioned this in no way besides London Broil. nonetheless, we are here. Busy weekend of action to recap. Jeffy's Fab Farm Mini Meltdown going off without a hitch.
Oh,
I would say.
Great,
you know,
show.
The only minor malfunction where anybody had to get called in off the bench was there was a small emergency in the pit area for Dave Early.
He
landed on his shifter, and it went into his ribs. The same thing happened to him at Bash for Cash. So he had a little bit of a run in there. The officials had to go make sure. And I was, honestly, when the officials went to the pits, I assumed that a fan had either drank too much beer or not enough water and just collapsed from the heat.
Except there was no beer allowed.
Funny you should say that. Anyway.
I didn't realize it was Dave. They said, I did talk to Jeremy a little bit, and he said that I assume he had talked to Dave or somebody with Dave, and they said that they kept him overnight for observation, but I guess it was just bruises. So
Which is good. I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Yes, absolutely.
So well wishes to Dave. He certainly earned...
always puts on a great show for us. And
lived up to every bit of his reputation.
Yes, he does.
Well, we're going to be talking with Tom Henderson, who came with the win in that division. We've got results to take a look at as well. There's Tom Henderson right there. Tom is making some time for us because he's already probably starting his Bash for Cash 2019 car. Tom Henderson on the line. Great action front to back out there in the action that we got to enjoy at the Mini Meltdown. Tom winning $4,000 for his effort. Tom, congratulations on the win, man.
Thank you.
It's got to.
I mean, it was a lot of fun out there.
Well, I hope you had some fun out there. It was certainly well with worth the trip out, it would seem.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Take me through the event itself. You know, we've seen you do some great things in big cars and small cars alike. Coming away with that win at Bash for Cash a year ago, it ranked pretty high up there. You guys always run hard at Dunkirk. This was a little bit of a different. Little bit of a different setup in terms of what you could do to the cars, and certainly different from where you were last weekend doing tech with Road Rage Entertainment.
Yeah, it's a little different build. Not so far off of Dunkirk's cars, except for the back of the car. You couldn't do a whole lot with the back of the car here, but that's not the important end anyway, so.
Right. Back end's mostly for show. Do you still like driving the compacts after you've had a taste of those big, heavy wild cars?
Yeah, I definitely do. There's a lot less time in them. I mean, I built that car in a week, and I built my Bash car in 3 months, so it's a lot easier work, that's for sure.
Sure. The feature itself, it came down to you, and it was a dogfight. The car kept wanting to shut off on you, and then all of a sudden the tides turned, and 60 seconds later you were the winner. Take me through the feature and what that played out like.
It was weird because there was two separate derbies going. You know, we were all derbying on one end, and then there was some other car derbying on the other end, and all of a sudden it was like, huh, we're out of people down here. So we kind of mixed together there, and man, that Chris Woodworth, I think I'm saying it right.
Right.
That was the first I ever met him. Actually, we stood around in the pits earlier today and bullshitted for probably 25 minutes or so, and wouldn't it figure that's what it comes down to. But what a driver. That guy, he's a hell of a driver. I didn't think the car was going to restart there again, but finally it did. It was definitely getting pretty hot.
The car itself had to refire three times. After the third time that it refired, I thought you were pretty much on the last restart that car was going to give you. what was happening in the car in terms of where that power plant was? Were the overheating issue tied to anything getting stuck up underneath it? Anything tied to just running out of water? Because it didn't seem like you were driving the car overly hard. You ran a pretty smart feature until it got right down to just the final five or so.
I knew it was going to get hot because in the heat I took a real wild shot and it bent the passenger side rail back so far that the radiator hose is rubbing on the one fan. So I had unhooked one fan, and I knew it was going to get hot without that one cooling fan in the front of it. So it was only a matter of time. So I was kind of trying to take it a little easy on it.
It was Chris Woodworth that came away second place. He's a former winner of the Northeast Championship Derby in Massachusetts, which pays $10,000 to win there. You're a former $10,000 feature winner with Bash for Cash and out there battling out for $4,000 in the compact division. Which one was harder to come away with a win in?
This one was a lot more dramatic with the car quitting. Getting down to whatever it was. I think it was 5 seconds, they said, when I finally made a hit again.
That's right. But had five ticks left. Because the clock doesn't stop running when the car refires.
Yeah, you got to hit somebody.
So he had to chase.
You watched the video. I kind of got into him, but I didn't actually make a hit until, like, they said 5 seconds was left. So
right. Backed it up just enough after it refired, and then he drove away, and he had to come around and make an aggressive hit, not something that was, you know, sort of circumstantial contact, and earned every last bit of it.
I had when it fired, I pushed into the side of him, and I noticed that he had lost forward gears. So then when he got backed around to that by the other car, it was just a matter of getting him pushed up against that car so he couldn't pull away from it.
Have you ever been that attentive to know that somebody has lost forward or reverse?
No, I wasn't that attentive to know that Brett didn't have steering at Waterloo last year. I definitely would have paid attention to that. But that's the thing. I mean, that's, you know, Tom's obviously is a very successful driver. I mean, we've seen him do great. But I mean, that's how you get to, you know, you get these victories is you notice things like that. You pay attention. And, you know, that was a hard fought, you know, day. I mean, it was, the heats were tough. The feature was tough. It was hot. I mean, that was a tough day to be running heats in a feature, and I mean, he definitely earned it. I mean, it was a long day.
Dan Bolton won his heat in his white Camry, and it was the first time that he had ever lost a tire in five runs with a Camry.
Really?
He lost the front tire, and that's what ended up taking him out in the feature. But he said that he considered his heat win as much of a feature win as anything else, just making it to the feature because those heats were so deep. Tom, you know, you're from an area where the qualifying heats take the last two, maybe the last three, and you can have anywhere from 20, 25 cars on the track at one time. So you were sort of accustomed to that atmosphere and the compacts. Did that at all with some of the other guys that are out there? Do you feel that could have played against them having 15, 16 cars on the track at one time for a qualifier that takes only two?
Yeah, I think so. It's actually kind of strange to see a show that big that only takes two out of a heat. It is a lot more like our local shows. I mean, actually, at Cat County here, where I'm actually from, they take it down to the last car runner in every heat. And
wow.
it's just crazy to me. Then you go to these bigger shows, and it's five and six and seven cars they'll take.
Sure.
It's a whole lot easier to get in. But it definitely makes a lot more junk for the feature. You notice how, I mean, that's how much faster the feature goes with,
right,
with taking them down that far.
Right. It also, I mean, it put you guys had to do some work. Some of the guys that were in some of the tougher heats had to do a lot of work, but all the cars were put in an impound until after the consies were done.
Yeah,
so all the features
were was killing us.
All the cars that qualified for the feature had the same amount of time to make repairs. The heats weren't in impound until the last consolation round was done, which really limited the clock. It gave you time to game plan, get a bunch of buddies together, and different people could attack the different parts of the car that needed attention, but you still only had, what, maybe an hour and a half?
Something like that. It wasn't a long time. It wasn't a real long time.
Yeah, the wait was took forever. It seemed like it hurry up and wait to get your car back.
They went through 163 cars in like 8.5 hours.
Yeah, it was a good pace. I mean, this is one of the first derbies I've been to where they were, you know, they'd hook like four cars up on the track and hook the record to the front and tow them all off at once, and then the skidsters would kind of pull them away from the same spot.
Right.
But I mean, That was very cool the way they were hauling cars off all together.
And we lost one of the skid steers. I think it was Jay Tweedy's skid steer went down
through the
course of the afternoon, which is one of the reasons why they had, you know, Jeremy at one point climbed into another skid steer and was loading cars in the pits just to help people get home.
That's crazy. Well, I know we after our thing, I came out and asked Pete Hansen if he would push the car up on, and he did after just as they were starting the one consi, but It was a good day. I mean, I was impressed. There was some hitting going on in that compact class. There were some guys that were driving really smart. It was overall. I think it was a great day. Hope it continues. Hope it turns into something big, really big.
And it was Craig Bedell in the number 22 coming away to third place. We've seen him have some magical runs out there in Western New York. He's from Little Valley. So it was weird to see Western New York and Massachusetts battling it out in Morris. You know, these are guys that probably otherwise would never even come to Morris. So that was a lot of fun to see too.
Yeah. Very, very smooth show. I was very impressed with how well that show, right from the inspection all the way through, just very smooth.
What did you think of the pace? I mean, we talked a little bit about the wild card was going to be the pace. The drivers were going to take their time that they were trying to make it to the feature. And the drivers that were going to go out there and get Mad Dog were going to get one of those Jeffy's Fab Farm light up trophies right away in their heat, and we might not see them again the rest of the night. We didn't have a small count per se in the consies, but the consies went through pretty fast because the stuff was already pretty dilapidated. Mm-hmm. What did you think about the heat? What did you think about the pace of the action, and did it match your expectations?
Yeah, I think the pace was kind of what I expected. I'd seen some. I'd never been to Morris before, but Walton, I was at Walton before, and them guys just fly. So I kind of knew what to expect as far as the pace went. It was just a matter of staying out of the way of some of them guys. Man, they really get cruising. I took a few wild shots in the heat, and that's what really did hurt the car pretty good, but we were able to straighten it out and get some wire on it in some spots and definitely saved it.
It seems like it goes without saying that this would be the case, but you got lucky enough to draw the same heat with Dave. Dave got somewhat unpopular through the course of the day, with everybody sort of getting after him with his pace. How did it work having a buddy out there as wild as the heats were? You had to have your head on a swivel. You had to be looking at all times, and if you let your guard down for a split second, you could be looking at having a laid over front tire in a heartbeat. Did it help having a buddy out there?
Actually, Dave wasn't actually in my heat. Craig and Ken Harvey were both in my
heat.
And I heard a little bit of grumbling from the stands after my heat that maybe I was a sandbagger, but then once Dave went out, they kind of forgot about me.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? There's a shirt that says the bank cashes the check no matter what Monday morning.
I saw Chris Quinsler posted that about somebody on Facebook today. I saw him post that, but Kevin Harvey in your heat. Ken's one of those guys. He can change the complexion of heat in a hurry.
Oh yeah.
good guy to have on your side. It was funny too, the crowd was really against Cody Riley.
Oh yeah. Right up until the mod show.
And then the mod show came out and they loved him. You know?
Oh boy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Everybody was really rooting for him then. It's like, 3 hours ago you thought this guy was the devil.
Yeah.
But
it's funny, Derby fans are fickle. They definitely pick their favorites quickly.
It's always funny too. You hear the guys the sandbagger this and sandbagger that. I love to sit in the stands and watch a guy that can drive a good, smart, technical Derby.
Yep.
That you see every move they make, and they're just smart. You can tell, Yeah. And then it plays into it, too. Dave loves the attention, so he'll stand up there and bow, and people will go booing him, and it's just the edge of the show, I think.
We've touched on it before. It's people in the stands always, they complain this guy sandbags and that guy sandbags. Well, go out and build yourself a car and try to go after that guy that you think is sandbagging and see how it works out. Because, we've seen it, the guys that have the most success can drive at any pace. And I understand because, I love just going out and watching, Blizzard Bash is probably, Blizzard Bash and the Frank the Tank class at Bash for Cash are my favorite things because everybody's just wide open on the gas. But like you said, I love to sit back and watch Don Santel or Bob Whitaker run because, everything they do is it's calculated and they don't make mistakes. And, I can really get into that. But, some people can't. And, you're never going to have all the fans happy in a Derby. So
that's for sure. That's for sure. There's no question there. Where to from here for you? You got more Derbies planned? You going to take a little bit of time off and just count money?
I'm going to take a little bit of time off here and then maybe some local shows and probably find something around Labor Day to maybe a little bigger show around Labor Day if I can get my button gear on a car.
We going to see you make an appearance in Dunkirk at all?
Oh, yeah, I'll probably end up there sooner or later.
Awesome.
I don't know if I'll make it there the first night, but I'll get down there.
Yeah. You almost can't not. After you, if you travel all over the place, there's still no replacement for running at home in front of all your friends and family.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. That's where everybody gets to watch you, all the people that help on the cars here and there, and they don't always travel with us, so it's good to run close to home.
Do you get to a point where you miss that hometown atmosphere when you're out there and you're driving in the big shows and you're winning derbies like this? Is there an element that makes you miss that? Does it make you anxious to get back home in front of that hometown crowd because you're successful, but you're doing it in strange places?
I miss the crowd. I miss knowing people in the stands, but we become, all of us guys in local here, I'm friends with, like, everybody, so it gets boring beating on the same people all the time at the end of the derbies, you know?
Yep.
So in that aspect, it's nice to travel and run against some people you don't know, and you don't have to deal with you popped my good tire, or, you know, that kind of stuff. But
yep.
But definitely miss the hometown crowd. It's fun to run in front of everybody you know.
We've heard people talk when they travel that they can go into a heat without any baggage. They can hit wherever they want.
Yep.
Flipping that around and talking about going back to home, is it harder now to run at home because you know everybody and you don't want to lay a heavy shot on them and break some of their equipment, break rear end, hit them so hard that it breaks a block or knocks the ears off or does something to the transmission or like you even something as simple as a tire because you know everybody and you know what the cost is and your buddies and you don't want to start spending their money for them?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it hurts the show some. I mean, nobody wants to sit there and see us banging on each other's back doors, but at the same time, all the money that we invest in these things and mm-hmm. and with some of us, I mean, we're working on the stuff together. It's our friends' cars. Heck, I built that transmission for you. I'm not going to break it, you know, something like that.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't anyway. You shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, if it comes down to it, I suppose you'll have to, right?
Yeah.
A topic of broken transmission. Did you see that Crown Vic that got dug out of there?
Yeah, I did. That was bad. I'd never seen a transmission fall out of a car before.
The bell housing shattered, and the torque converter fell on the track, and as they picked it up, the tail shaft and transmission, everything. It was basically, I think, was just being held in by the lines.
Yeah.
And the lines broke. So the tail shaft, the back half of the drive shaft, which was new, and the new transmission all fell out onto the track. And the guy grabbed the tail shaft and tried to drag the tranny out of there. What was left of the case? It's like, boy, that's an expensive afternoon right there.
Yep.
Yeah,
that looked
sure.
bad. There were some pictures circulating on the internet with all that stuff. But that was...
That was a very well put together car too. I walked by that a couple times and checked it out, and they did a really nice job building that car. It was well put together. I was surprised. I don't remember seeing him much on the track, and then I saw that afterwards, and something weird happened there.
Only takes one.
It only takes one. That's for sure.
Tommy, is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of? I know you got a good crew out there that helps get those cars together.
All the guys, David and Evan King, Ken and Craig. We all work together. Matt Gaskin. We all worked together in the pits and got our stuff together, and definitely my girlfriend Nikki at home. She brought me a lot of dinners in the garage lately because I've been out there. So,
right, that's a keeper.
That sounds great, Tommy. Man, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while. We'll probably catch up with you in Dunkirk if I don't see you before.
Sounds good, bud.
We'll see you later, Tom. Nice job.
Congratulations.
Bye.
There goes Tom Henderson, winner of the Mini Meltdown. We've got some results to go through. For everybody here, someplace. Where'd I put them? There they are. Again, four cylinders. It was. Let's do this. There we go. It was Tom Henderson taking the win over Chris Woodworth, Craig Bedell, second place. Economy V8s, Brett Relier coming away with a win in that one over Brian Tompkins and Mad Mike DeFrisio. Minivans and SUVs, Derek Widrick taking the win over Lee Seeger. Lee Seeger driving a car that he built on the grounds. That day.
It didn't look like it had any floor in it either by the time they got done.
Well, it didn't have any sliding doors. It went from the sliding door-ish to the back wheel, and then there was nothing. It was pretty cool. Trucks, Jonathan Reed, Mike Klinger battling it out in that one. Jonathan Reed coming with a win, and Cody Riley winning the Limited Weld Show over the number 14J. They ended up pooling the money and flipping for it. In terms of our time today here, I feel like Cody Riley is going to be recognized as the winner, at least on our show for the moment, because he made a great hit. His wheels were turning. The other guy couldn't start the car. If it's an elimination motorsport, the other guy was eliminated first. I mean, you can share all the hate mail that you want, but it is what it is.
And that's the thing. I mean, Jeremy got put in a really tough spot right there. I mean, that was, you know, to have to make that call. And I mean, you know, it wasn't just Jeremy. He talked with the other officials. And
It wasn't a snap decision.
No, it was. And that's the thing. I mean, no matter what the call was, somebody would have been upset. So, you know, it was, you know, like, you know, Jeremy mentioned in the driver's meeting, would have been nice to have some more of those cars. But, you know, it was what it was. And, you know, Cody did a hell of a job driving. I mean, he was, you know, it was basically 4-on-1, and he did a good job.
And Jeremy Gulley is on the line now, making one of the many trips back and forth to Morris to get the last loads of stuff out of the fairgrounds. How was Father's Day?
Oh, it was uneventful. I had every intention to go into Morris to grab a trailer, and my motivation kind of slipped out the window.
What happened to all your plans?
Well, I got up before 4:30, I had to work Sunday, so worked, and 4:30 rolled around and had every intention of jumping in a truck and come up and grabbing something, but I just didn't.
That's you definitely deserve to hang out with the family. You've had a rough week or two or three, so it's probably good to sit down and relax for a while.
I was more sore after on Sunday than I was any derby I have ever ran in my entire life.
That's crazy.
Morris will do that to you.
I don't know if it was just the running around or what, but you know, we tried to keep things going pretty quick, so I didn't really stop moving. So, you know, we started inspection at 6:00 in the morning, and we had cars showing up. I think five after six, the first car rolled through the gate. So, you know, it wasn't like we really had a lot of time. Didn't have a lot of downtime at all. Yeah. And I think we started pretty damn close to 1:00 with the power wheels. I left my phone right in the camper. I didn't even look.
Yep.
But I got done with the show, and then I jumped right in the skid steer and started helping drivers get their cars loaded and so they could get home and whatnot. And we finally got out of the skid steer about 11:30 and sat there with probably 15 or 18 drivers and had a few adult beverages and then went to sleep.
For 2 hours.
Oh. Yeah. Good to catch a nap. What'd you think about the mini meltdown presented by Jiffy's Fab Fun?
I thought it was absolutely awesome from top to bottom. You know, from my perspective, my decisions to bring on Becker and Veal were paid dividends immediately. I went back to the tech line and shored that up, and I really thought that, you know, tech went very smooth. I did bring in some outside inspectors. I brought a W-body guy and a Camry guy, and of course Brian's with us full-time. He's an equipment builder, so, you know, there wasn't really much that anybody was going to get past any of us, and brought in Ben to do the filler classes, and, you know, Ben's a great inspector, period. And so, you know, I really think tech went well. We worked with some drivers that had a few issues, and, you know, there was a few common issues that were being had, so I think we need to clarify a little bit our rules. Maybe for next year we'll change some wording to make that well known. And then, of course, you know, Josh out on the front stretch, the fans were really, really happy with him and that aspect of that. And, of course, you were videoing up in the Hawk's Nest, and so we didn't really get to see you, but, you know, hopefully that all turns out well and the video is good. And we'll have
like
some memories, and you know,
I was pretty happy with it. We were able to put the band-aids on everything and get through what we needed to get through. The other computer that we had out at Whitney Point is in its final resting place at this point. I don't think that we're gonna be able to fix that one, but we
Seneca Lake.
Yeah, it's serving as an anchor right now. But we took the graphics computer, and that's what the graphics computer was there for. Once we determined that tech support wasn't going to be able to deliver any solutions for us, we just jumped in and turned that graphics computer into something that was capable of streaming. Did the test there, got all the settings and stuff set, and for all intents and purposes, it worked the way that it was supposed to as a backup. Now we got to go through and figure out what we're going to do for our primary plan, if we're going to try and fix the other one or just use this as the primary and try to find a cheaper support machine in the interim. But yeah, for all intents and purposes, we should have everything up this week.
Good. for those who didn't watch the Candor, I did go to, I think it was one of my trips bringing stuff up. There was a huge, huge crane sitting in the parking lot of the fairgrounds, and I inquired as to what it was for, and, well, they are actively placing a cell tower in Morris, so in the near future, we may be able to do something there, but, you know, I don't want to promise anything because, well, right now there's no service from Sydney to Morris, so, you know, I just, there's so many hills and valleys, you know, you may have to stand on your head to get service, but,
If you walk around the fairgrounds enough, you can find service, because my kid was finding service here and there, because we get done.
Oh, yeah, leave it to a kid to find service. I mean, well, they'll find it. You know, they won't walk to the kitchen to get a drink. They'll walk 75 miles to find cell service.
Well, it was funny because we got done with our heat, and you know, Zach was standing there with me, and I said, "Did you text mom and tell her how I did?" And he's like, "No." I said, "Did you text Grandpa, Grandma, and tell them how I did?" "No." "Have you talked to Natalie lately?" "Yeah, I was just texting her a minute ago." So, it all kind of worked out in the end. So,
yeah.
But it was, as a promoter, you got to be pretty happy with how things went. I mean, it just, you know, like I said, I told you, I didn't hear any bitching from anybody. It's, you know, obviously we can always hope that there's more people there, but I thought there was a decent amount of people in the stands. And I mean, did it go pretty close to what you were hoping for?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, we doubled our from the numbers standpoint, we almost doubled our attendance from last year. So I'm happy. You know, we got to grow. You know, and as those drivers, you know, get a lot of really good feedback from drivers that travel. You know, several guys were, you know, saying, well, we thought we were going to come in and it was going to be, you know, basically 3, 4, 5, 6 on one until we were out, and it really wasn't the case. You know, the heats were mixed really well with local guys and out-of-towners, and you know, a lot of guys are already saying, you know, hey, I'm ready, I'm already looking for a cleaner car to bring back, you know?
Yep.
So hopefully, you know, those guys that are coming back will tell a couple of their buddies, and they'll come back, or they'll come with them, you know, and then we'll get that attendance up a little bit, and you know, and I really don't know if we want to try to get, you know, many more cars. I mean, we were on pace, we were on track doing, you know, for about 8.5 hours. It was 863 paid entries. That includes the meltdown, and I think we had 19 or 17 out of the meltdown class that didn't show at all. So, you know, top numbers were 185 cars, and I think we ended up with like 146 or 147. So, you know, from a promoter standpoint, last year we had 63. So we're up a bunch, but we also put on, you know, a bigger compact show. And I really, you know, for a compact show, a strictly compact show, that's all this was in reality. We used the fillers to give the compact guys some time to fix their stuff for the feature. I'm extremely, extremely happy that it wasn't, you know, what I consider, sometimes compacts get a little dry.
Yep.
It wasn't. It wasn't. The guys were on the throttle, you know, for the most part. I didn't, you know, I see some comments on Facebook from some grandstand drivers, you know, but for the most part, you know, listen, guys, if you don't like the way somebody's running, if he's legal and he's within his 60 seconds of hitting, you know, we're not going to time him out. I mean, it's, you know, you have your driving style, they have theirs. If you don't like how they're driving, then I suggest you build a car, get on the track, and do something about it.
Absolutely.
Sounds like an easy solution right there.
Drivers are the only ones on the grounds that can change the way a person drives, and that's it. You know, if you don't like it, then build it and go beat him. Go beat the guy, you know?
Yep.
I was extremely impressed with the way it played out. You know, some guys drove smart, other guys, you know, they drove like they wanted to, and I didn't build their car, so I'm not going to tell them how they have to build.
Yep. And that's the thing. I mean, we've talked to different people, you know, throughout the shows we go to. You know, people are like, well, the promoter's got to do something about the pace. Well, you know, that you know, the promoter's in a pretty tight spot there because, you know, he wants the show to be a good show, but he also wants his drivers to come back. I mean, you can't go out and, you know, break a guy's stick just for, you know, not hitting hard enough for, I mean, if he's sitting there for 5 minutes, absolutely you can do it, but, you know, a lot of people just don't understand that you can't just go out and indiscriminately break sticks. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Well, the rules say aggressive contact every 60 seconds.
Yep.
It doesn't say you have to go wide open from one end of the track or the other, although some people like that.
Absolutely.
You don't have, you know, the rules don't say you have to do that.
Nope.
And, you know, guys, the one thing that some guys were talking to me about, you know, they didn't know so-and-so, and they didn't know how they were going to drive, and they didn't know, you know, so maybe next year it's a little different.
Yep.
You know, if they come back, then maybe somebody's going to look for so-and-so. I don't know. But careful the fight you pick, because you have to answer the battle.
Absolutely.
You know, you start going after, some of these guys can turn it up when they want to.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and so, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Well, I was just about to say, you know, be careful what you wish for, in the sense that some of these guys that are bagging it, you don't want them to turn it up.
No.
If you decide that you're going to poke that bear, get ready to have your stuff handed to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Why not? Yeah, absolutely. You know, I choose to go out and drive like I want, because that's the way I like to drive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily care what anybody else says. I mean, and I'll drive different in a compact than I do in a full weld or a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I got it underneath me and I got it and I know it, I'm going to drive it.
Yep.
The other hand, if I got a pillow, then I'm really not going to just start junking stuff right off the line, because I've got no chance to be there at the end of the day.
Yep.
It's funny you should say that, because just today I had a guy who had a F-250 Super Duty, and he wanted me to. He said, "Who should I put in it?" And I said, "Brian Tompkins should drive this." He was going to give me an F-250 Super Duty built. And he goes, "Well, if Brian runs it, he's got to run it to Seneca County." And I said, "Never mind, keep the truck, because Jeremy Gully's coming." So
I agree.
I'd love to be in Seneca. I'd love to be on the track with Brian. I would absolutely nose the nose and not care.
I would, because it hurts afterwards.
Hey,
but you guys are the type to drive
how, forever.
You guys are the type to drive how you want to drive, and you don't get wrapped up into chasing the purses. You know, whatever way strikes you that day is the way that it's going
to
be.
And that's the thing, you know, like I talked to a bunch of people the day of the show, and they're like, "Oh, you're going for Mad Dog, what are you going to do, da 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 da," and I'm like, I really don't know, because I honestly wanted to see if I could A, back a car up, because I've never done it before, and B, be there at the end. And that's, you know, I didn't drive as hard as I usually do, and I did use the back end a lot more, and I was there at the end. And then,
well, you got into that same spot like we were talking to with Tommy a minute ago, where you knew everybody that was left. There was Joe Backus, you, and Brett, and Mike DeFrisia.
Yeah.
Who do you hit?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's...
with a car with a bad nose.
Running on the track.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, it was... And that's the thing, is we had the red flag there, and I saw Joe's, the corner of Joe's wagon, and Joe and I just talked before the feature, and I said, "Hey, we'll probably bump into each other." He's like, "Yeah, it's part of it." But I wasn't going to hit Joe first thing. I mean, we started on the line together, and I yelled to him. I said, "Joe, go this way, and then we'll back up." He's like, "Yep." So we started out, you know, but there was that stoppage, and then I look up, and there sat Joe up against the wall with that bad corner sticking out of the square back wagon, and everybody likes to hit square back wagons. And I was like, "Well, there's only a couple of cars left, so we're going to have to let her go and see what happens." And, you know, earlier when I got down to it, you know, Mike was coming across, and I'm like, I got a chance to hit Mike DeFrisia, and I hit him, and he smiled and gave me the thumbs up. I mean, it was fun, you know. And it's when it came down to Brett and he'd hit Mike, and I'd hit Joe, and I'd backed up, and I saw Brett was already coming, and I knew what was going to happen, so I just threw it low and stood on it. And I mean, that's how we ended it, you know, two or three shots like that. And
then you waved off, and everybody had to make sure that car was junk, because you got told to, Brett got told to hit you like two more times.
Yeah. I actually
no games, Brian.
Yeah.
Don't restart now.
Well, and that's the thing, is I had stalled, and I was trying to start it, and Brett hit me again. And I was leaning forward to hit the button, and when he hit me, I hit my stomach on the steering wheel, and that kind of knocked the wind out of me. But So I waved off to Brett then. I'm like, I'm done. And I guess in theory, I, you know, probably should have put the flag down, but I didn't. But he hit me good, and I looked out, and I'm like, and he's like, they told, you know, he pointed and said that one of the officials had told him to. But it was, you know, it was all in good fun. I mean, I was happy. I was hoping to get down to the, you know,
highest bumper you ever had, I heard.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. It's definitely up there. But it was, you know, it was fun. And that's, you know, we started out, you know, with a bunch of guys I didn't know. And, you know, there were some guys, the guy that had the one stock bubble Ford, he was right down there to the end with us. He was not driving easy. He did a great job. I mean, it was fun to go somewhere else. You know, I'd been to Morris a few times and watched, and I got to go down there and run, and I knew I didn't want to be crossways in that track very much. So
it's interesting, you know, that the fact that the last time you drove out of town was in Jeremy's Cordoba. No, you had Whitney Point, right?
No, I ran Jeremy's Cordoba.
Jeremy's Cordoba. Well,
that's the thing.
And then you wasted a Cordoba at Jeremy's show. It's really full circle, isn't it?
We were talking.
And he bought that one from me.
Yeah, I did. I bought that car from Jeremy. We were sitting there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We were sitting there afterwards, and, you know, shooting the breeze, and I thanked him. I said, "Hey," I said, "you know, thanks for selling that car. It's a good car." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "The other Cordoba too." And it's right. He's put me in, you know, sold me one to put me in another great car. So I'm gonna have to figure out a way to return the favor, but. The coolest thing.
That was my 70s wire bass car that you finished up there to that.
Caledonia.
Caledonia, yeah.
Yeah, the night that Dan left you hung up on the wall. You remember that, right, bud?
Yeah, I don't forget. But, I'm just waiting for him to give me a passenger door sideways on the track.
In all honesty, though, and I thought about this a lot while I was sitting there at Morris waiting to run. The coolest part of that whole day for me was that the transmission that's in that car was built by Rick Englehart.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got to be. It's over 15 years old because I bought it before Zach was born, and he's 15. So I had Englehart tranny on the Morris track and did pretty good with it. So that was – I thought that was – I felt pretty cool about that being down there.
Almost a winner.
Almost a winner. That damn Relier wasn't there. Maybe I would have been better. I don't know, but. It was fun overall. I mean, like I said, I've been wanting to run one of Jeremy's shows, and I got to do that. And hopefully the football schedules, we got a Friday night game, so I make it to San Filippo. And overall, it was a blast, though. I mean, you know, top to bottom, you know, I think these guys are doing great things, and they're definitely about the drivers. And, you know, hopefully next year we can get maybe no rain, but maybe a little cloudy because, you know, the old Chrome Dome got a little bit of sun over the weekend. But, you know, all in all, just a great show. You know, I know these guys took a lot of pride and a lot of time. And I remember Jeremy was telling me all about this show last December. We went down, Zach and I went down and went hunting with Jeremy. And he was telling me all the ins and outs. And, you know, he was, you know, as any promoter is when you put on a show of this caliber, he was a little nervous about it, you know. But, you know, I think things have worked out well. And I think it's only going to continue growing. And it's good to see that drivers are, you know, supporting the promoters that take care of them. And, you know, Jeremy's touched on it. You know, they talked about the heat draw and stuff in the driver's meeting. You know, and Jeremy and his crew are working on stuff for next year already. So, you know, where they feel they need to improve, I have no doubt they're going to. So, I only expect bigger and better things next year.
Yeah, we did have, you know, I said we weren't going to do a pre-registration at the driver's meeting. And I had a lot of drivers come up to me and say, hey, we don't like that. We want to make sure that we got a spot.
Yeah, so, I like that idea of pre-registration.
We're going to work through that, and maybe we just won't cap the number. Maybe we'll just, you know, let guys pre-register if they want to, and you know, if we end up with 100 and end up with 150, we'll just have bigger heats. But I don't really know. We got to figure this all out. You know, time-wise, we're where we want to be as far as time goes. You know, I didn't like it. There's a lot of confusion at registration with guys getting rid of spots.
Yeah,
it was a tremendous effort on Liz's part to keep everything straight. And when I went to her, when we closed at 11:30, she had everything done for me. I basically went in, got the heat sheets. I knew exactly the heats. You know, she had all that done, so that made my life a lot easier. Yeah. I was basically able to hand Josh, you know, the seven heats. After we checked them, we did go check the heats, make sure we're using the right heat and whatnot. And she just did a phenomenal job at registration. And that, you know, really, I get a lot of the tags on Facebook, you know, about such a great show. But in reality, I was there to just kind of make sure things were the way they were supposed to be, and everybody was doing what they were supposed to as far as their job. the people that supported me behind the scenes is what makes that show, or what makes any of our shows, go the way they are. You know, Liz Hackett, my daughter Kylie did the registration. My other daughter was in charge of watching the impound cars during the day. You know, my wife, obviously, she helps me tremendously. She's the CFO of the company, or she likes to think she is anyway. She at least signs the checks anyways. And, you know, of course, the inspectors were top-notch. And the Fair Board was, you know, we're working with the Fair Board instead of, you know, kind of butting heads with them. And that's always nice to have a young, energetic Fair Board that's wanting to kind of work together with the promoter, as opposed to, you know, always kind of butt heads and trying not to, you know, I'm trying not to make it about, you know, about anything but the drivers. And it's, you know, when the Fair Boards decide that they don't want to be about the drivers anymore, they want to get greedy, then we'll do something different. And that's not just this show, that's any show.
Sure.
You know, they are bringing, you know, we're getting a brand new stage that's going to be done before, supposed to be done before the Fair shows, which is August 2nd.
2nd and 5th.
And then, you know, we have a week of hell right there. We have Morris the 2nd, Honesdale the 3rd, back to Morris the 5th, and then Honesdale again on the 11th. So, in a span of 9 days, we have 4 shows. And Morris is really 2, you know, 3 shows because of the 2 shows on Sunday. But they are also bringing in, you know, 40 tons of clay. They're going to redo the whole entire track surface to get down to clay. I sent plenty of pictures, and I am absolutely peppered head to toe from the mud and the rocks slinging off the track.
Yeah.
So hopefully that clay will hold the moisture a little better. We won't have to stock quite so much for the water breaks. And like I said, you know, the Fair Board is really doing good things. You know, we're going to tweak some things again for next year. We're, you know, planning the same exact weekend. You know, I got the guys from Ohio, you know, they basically said, why the hell do you guys drive like you do? And I said, if you think that's bad, you know, for 4,000, yes, you ought to come see when it's only 1,000 to win and not 4.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Yeah, it gets crazy.
You know, those guys were real happy. I was already talking to a couple of them. They were already looking for cars to bring back. So, you know, that makes me happy. And, you know, I gotta mention a couple drivers that from standing on that stage, you know, I can watch the guys and I watch what they're doing, and I can see a lot of the track, and I get a real close up. Anthony Wall, number one, I mean, he runs the Economy V8, and that guy was just smiling ear to ear the whole time. Tyler did his very first Derby in the Diplomat.
Yep.
He could have taken the trunk lid off and put it back on a driver. Like, he didn't drive backwards at all, but he had a blast. Ken Harvey, I never met the man before in my life, but my God, was he junking stuff in his heat and just smiling and laughing and carrying on. And that right there, it makes my efforts worth everything. To see the drivers as happy as they are, you know, to know that I'm doing the best that I can for them, and they're doing the best that they can for me to put on a show for the fans in the stands. You know, that was absolutely awesome. John Griffin, he got down to 3rd. I think it's his 6th Derby ever. He runs for me a few times down to GDS, and to watch him evolve as a driver, he was picking wheels. He knew he was 2-on-1. He knew it. And he was trying to poke at wheels, front wheels, front tires, to get it down to, you know, to make that last transfer spot. And the young kids that I've watched, you know, I've been derbying 25 years almost, and some of the young guys that I've watched come up through the compacts of Goodspeed and Schaefer, and, you know, just watching them learn and mature as a driver, it's just awesome. It's pretty cool to watch it.
Sure.
Yeah, we had a couple young compact drivers from up here that came down and run Justin and Jamie Eldridge. Mm-hmm. And Justin ended up making the feature, and Jamie just missed it. But I told him after this.
Zach Herman's still up by you, too, isn't
yep,
he?
Yeah. Yep, he ended up. I think
he was down. He had a good run.
Blew a transmission, I think.
Yeah, I think he lost a tranny or something. Yeah,
he was early, first heat, I think.
Yeah, but I told the Eldridge boys, I said, look, I said, you know, because they were a little concerned going down there, you know, not knowing anybody, and, you know, I said, just go down and have fun and drive. I said, it's an experience. It's only going to make you better. And it's, you know, I told him afterwards, I said, you guys did great. I said, neither one of you got anything to be upset about. I said, when it comes up again next year, I said, sign up, head back, because, you know, you proved you can run with those guys. It's sure. You know, it was yep. great to see, and it's great to see the young guys doing that stuff. I mean, there was a lot of feature wins in that compact class.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at
I don't even want to guess how many you know, between even the V8 guys that went down.
Oh, that's what I mean. There
we had Bash for Cash winner there.
Yep.
We had the Waterloo winner from last year, the modified cars, not compacts. He was in a mod car last year.
Yeah.
I was battling him up at Waterloo.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Matt Gaskin, he was there. Cody Riley was there. He's a Bash for Cash level driver.
Absolutely.
He could build nasty, nasty pro mods, and he's in a compact. I mean, Tom Henderson, the guy that won it, if I'm not mistaken, he won Bash for Cash.
Yep.
David King, Evan King, you know, there's, of course, and then Heat 5 was like the Otsego County feature every year for the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. There's the All-Star Heat.
Joe Armstrong, and he had a hell of a run. He went pretty deep into the feature, you know. And, of course, the guys out of Canada, Blair and Devin Cremon, both making the feature.
Yep.
I mean, it was, in my opinion, a great show as a fan of Demolition Derby, standing on the stage. It was a great show. And as a promoter, watching that show go to where it is right now makes me very, very happy.
You know, I got to tell you, I've told you before, you know, that I think the two best decisions you guys made, one was the not selling of beer and not having beer there. I think that was, you know, I don't understand why people feel the need to drink the excess to enjoy sporting events. I've never gotten into it, but I think it was great that you guys, you know, didn't allow that. And then the fact that if you made the track and the compact feature, you made $200. I think that was just awesome. I mean, you know, the top payout was great, but the fact that if you made the feature, you know, if you made the track, $200, that's, I mean, you can't beat that. There's not many places else that do that locally. So
Poor Shane Curtin made the track. He didn't want to. He had only full throttle. He's going to back off the line and slam it and drive and carry on down the track. Well, I told him, I said, you have got to drive once you get on the track. I will allow you to be towed on if you must drive. I gotta just let guys tow their stuff on. You know, my incentive was to work on your car.
Yeah, right.
So he gets towed on. He starts it. He drives into position, he couldn't get into position. He was stuck or whatever. And we're not sure if either when he started it, Slim Gary snapped the CV, or when Jay was pushing him into position with the skid steer, he snapped the CV. But he got in there almost, so we gave him his $200.
That's awesome.
17 out of the 18 compacts answered the bell.
Sure did.
Awesome.
Only one that didn't make it out. And
Cindy Regenball is the only one that didn't make it out.
I didn't realize Cindy was there. Holy cow.
Qualified out of Heat 1, I believe.
I like to work backwards when I figure out what I'm transferring. I'm working backwards because I want a good feature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care for... I could do Heat Money and run it down to one car, but then, you know, you're basically taking your feature cars and you're beating the hell out of them.
Yep.
So I worked backwards. I wanted 18 in the feature. I knew the car count, and I knew we were going to have two consies. So I basically was able to qualify two cars, you know. And so we didn't have to necessarily destroy each other at the very end to figure out who won the $200. Or I could have paid $400 to Heat and give it to one winner, and then I probably would have had half the number of cars.
Yeah, he had nine cars for the feature.
Nine cars out of 105.
I chose to pay deeper into the feature, so I basically paid 17 spots back. You know, I mean, and if you want to, you know, you can't say it ain't Heat Money, because if you made the feature, then you got your $200. So basically, you got $200 for winning the Heat.
Yep, can't beat that.
Well, from here, Jeremy and Spinning Wheels are going to move on to that big weekend that he alluded to a minute ago. Spinning Wheels Productions, August 2nd and 5th, the Otsego County Fair in Morris, New York. It's August 2nd is all one and done. Stock 4 and 6 cylinders, bone stock V8s, full-size trucks, and compact trucks. August the 5th, heats are at 1, features are at 6, economy compacts, economy V8, limited well V8, full-size trucks, and compact trucks. Always a good show over there at Otsego County Fairgrounds, again, the home of that one, Morris, New York. August 3rd and 11th is the Wayne County Fair. Online for more details, rules, registration, Spinning Wheels Productions. www.tech.com. Jeremy, again, man, I appreciate you coming and making time for us. I know you're super busy trying to get everything where it needs to be today. Congratulations. It was a great show, man. We had a good time with it.
Thanks, Chris.
We'll catch up with you soon here in a couple of days after the dust settles, and we'll find out how the schedule is going to play out for Otsego County Fair, because I think that's only like 6 weeks away.
Have a good night.
All right, Jeremy. We'll see you later. I think we just made him more exhausted.
Jeremy sounds tired.
Yeah, he does sound tired. Let's run through some of this other stuff that we got to hit on real quick. All right, perfect. Stern Dirt Racing, the next big show for them is going to be at the end of next month. Wasatch Wipeout is the 27th and 28th of July in Heber City, Utah. $90,000 in prize money. Winner takes home $25,000, fifth through last, $1,000, $5,000 Mad Dog Award. Awesome show, two-day format, heats one day, grudges the beginning of the second day, and then features to follow. A couple support divisions going to be in action both days through the course of that program. The farm trucks and front-wheel drives, passenger division, all going to be going for a total purse of $4,500, so they might divide all the money equally and leave an extra $1,000 or $500 out there for the winner, plus some Mad Dogs. They let the divisions decide for themselves, which is kind of cool. Online, sterndirtracing.com. Smash 2018 schedule kicks off coming up this weekend. You know who was eating lunch at Parker's today?
Who?
Tim and Russ Clark.
Really?
Yeah. They went to Pennsylvania to look for another driver wagon. And they came back through after the driver wagon was not even a really good derby wagon, I guess. And they looked at another car in Auburn
area.
And then they came through and they called and they said, is there anybody around here that's got derby cars for sale? So I gave them some phone numbers and they grabbed lunch at Parker's and they headed on their way home there because they got to get ready for Stark County Fair in Canton, Ohio at 7:30 on the 23rd of June. Smash It Leaf cars, mini cars, full size, compact trucks, and stock wire cars, power wheels. All the order of the day there. Harrison County is next in line. That is in Cadiz, Ohio. 7 o'clock start time. Smash It Leaf cars, mini cars, full-size trucks, stock wire cars, and the power wheels there. Piketon Fair in Piketon, Ohio, 5 o'clock start. Smash It class, mini cars, street stock, Smash It mowers, and power wheels. And then July the 8th. Is Logan County Fair in Bellefontaine, Ohio, 6 o'clock start. 2000 win street stock, 80s wire class, Smash It compacts. Awesome show. You're not going to want to miss that one, but their schedule is starting to heat up awful fast. We're going to turn it around and look at the fall now. September the 29th, Madison County Fairgrounds in Brookfield, New York. That's the Brookfield Wheel Days. It's the annual fall cleanup show. It's a can't-miss event. Madison County Fair is in Brookfield. It's overseen by King Smashing and Crashing and Demolition Derbies. They do the fair Demolition Derbies as well, July 12th and 14th. The fair championship pays $1,000 to win for first place in compacts, $1,500 to the winner of the full-size division. Online for rules and info, facebook.com/KingSmashingCrashing, and also online for fair-related info, Madison County Fair NY. .com. Cass in the Valley is October the 20th. That's their fall show. Shenandoah County Fairgrounds in Woodstock, Virginia. Showtime is 5 o'clock. Compacts, heats, and features. Stocks, heats, and features if they need it. Modifies an SUV class. Also going to be one and done. Monster builds, monster paths. It all goes to benefit Townsville Volunteer Fire Department. Cass in the Valley online. Facebook.com/Cass Valley. Awesome show. Can't wait to get back down there. And then we talked about Smash It. Their season ends with this one. Blizzard Bash 2018. November the 7th are the heat draws from 7 to 10. November the 8th. Is national qualifying first round for both brackets. First round for the national bracket and the qualifying bracket. November the 9th, the limited weld and compact heat draws are at 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock is the second round for qualifying bracket and national bracket. November the 10th is a doubleheader. 10 o'clock start with compact and limited weld team heats. All the B mains for the team formats, front to back, the trucks, limited weld, one and done as well at 6 o'clock on November the 10th. And then championship Sunday starts at 1 o'clock with the bone stock, the 80s mod, and all the team A mains. So from there we go here and we've got to get Ron McClung on the phone. Bad Ronnie has had a pretty good run of luck lately and also pulled a yeoman's effort building a car and then running at Metal Mayhem over the weekend.
And real quick, the feature.
Real quick before we get to him, Don Santel coming away with his 100th career feature win over the weekend, and then Bobby Whitaker picking up a win in the Metal Mayhem, the stock class, the main draw. It's his third win, at Metal Mayhem,
and
right?
Santel are the ones that got three.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
impressive.
Yes, sir. They saw some pictures. There was definitely some junk made out there. Bad Ronnie built his car out there and then made it to the feature.
Brent Clemens ended up getting second in one of the divisions out there.
Yeah, I think it was second to Whitaker, but there was some sort of, I don't know, because
Whitaker won and Clemens was second.
To some people, then some people Whitaker won and Daryl Monroe was second. Hey, so I don't know what happened, but the one thing that can't be denied is that Bob won it, and from there.
Bob won it, and it was a good show.
Absolutely.
Good job to everybody that ran out there at Metal Mayhem. Ron McClung joining us on the hotline. Did you get to bring the car back to Canada?
Oh, absolutely. I already stripped and gone to junk.
So you endeavored to build the car as you waited, much like what we saw you do for the stock class at Blizzard Bash. Capital City Carnage. And nonetheless, drove the wheels off it in typical Bad Ronnie style.
Yeah, I made junk out of it in a hurry, that's for sure.
You ended up making it to the feature, right, Ron? Didn't you run the Consi and then made it to the feature?
No, they put me right through to the feature.
Did they? That's awesome.
Even better.
Even better.
Yeah.
You get a small Mad Dog trophy for that?
I didn't get any trophy or anything. I've never won anything from Tari.
Oh.
Yeah, but you...
I did get Mad Dog in 2012 Mayhem.
But you got to bring your car home. I guess that's not so bad.
Yeah.
So tell me about the process of doing that on site. I mean, it seems like there's got to be more pressure. You don't have the luxuries of being in the home garage. It's a little bit out of the element. How tough is it to build a car on site with a show that has as much pressure as Metal Mayhem? Do you even feel pressure being at Metal Mayhem since you've been there so many times?
No pressure whatsoever. It's just another day, another car. And as long as my plasma cutter works so I can cut the holes for the wire and holes in the hood and the trunk, everything else just goes together real simple. So it's done it so many times and it goes in the same place every time, you can't mess up.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've said that before, is that you've done these things so many times that you can knock them out in a couple hours, and it still blows my mind that you're building a car, a V8, that's going to be competitive for a show like Metal Mayhem in a matter of hours compared to some of these shows that we have to invest months in putting the car together for a shot at 10 grand.
No kidding.
Exactly. It was so much fun to put that car together, and I can't believe how many people didn't think we were going to get it finished and be able to run. And then once we did have it out there, the applause that I got was unbelievable and overwhelming.
Yeah. Cool.
What was some of the feedback of the people that were coming by watching you? Were they telling you, oh, well, you shouldn't do that, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way? Was there a lot of that kind of stuff, tire kicker builders?
Not at all. There were so many people. There was a lot of father and sons that were asking me questions on, we were wondering how you would do that and what you have to do for the wiring and to make the car run and be competitive. And it was, everything was all positive as far as I know and what I was told. And they were all wondering what I was doing for a front bumper, and I had welded a pair of Crown Vic shocks to a Nova bumper and slid it in and chained it in place, and it held up pretty good.
Did you get to make some good hits in the feature before you were done, or were you happy with your what you could do in the feature?
Oh, absolutely! I had a blast in the feature. I couldn't believe I lasted as long as I did. I had to back into the feature because I lost forward gears. I didn't know the tranny was bad because I had to change a differential to make the feature. And I bought a rear end out of a junkyard. I shortened the drive shaft 2 inches, welded it all back together. And then
time
to go for inspection, and I had no forward gears. So I just said, oh, well, going to go in reverse this time.
Wow.
Man.
So out there in the feature, all of a sudden it had forward a few times, and I just put it to the boards, and it was a blast.
That's awesome.
Just had a message come in on the chat. They were wondering how you pulled the Ford motor out of it and put the 350 Chevy in it with without having a lift.
I had no 350 Chevy in it.
Just ran that
and
stock.
It was bouncing off the rev limiter the whole night.
That's awesome.
That's how it's supposed to be.
That is awesome. So where are you headed to next, Bad Ronnie?
We got a local derby on Sunday we're going to. Me and Brian are both taking Crown Vics.
Hard to believe.
Ones.
How many derbies have you got in so far this year?
I think this was number 6 or 7.
Taking it light this year, huh?
Well, no, not really. It'll pick up.
Do you have any more derbies you're coming back into the States for, or is everything close to home now?
No, 3rd to 8th, I'm going to run probably 5 derbies in New Hampshire.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Cool.
I'm going to go to, I guess it's called Brookville or Brockton.
Oh, Brockton.
That's Massachusetts, yep.
Massachusetts. They have where you can build the cars on site for 7 nights, and then the 8th night is a championship derby. So
right.
I'm just going to rent as many cars as I can and go in as many heats as I can.
That is right up your alley, Ronnie.
That build is perfect for you.
That's awesome.
It's super stock. Yeah. You're going to love it there. The Northeast Championship, it pays huge money for the championship night. It's tough to qualify for through the course of the week. There's a lot of different events. I mean, once you get in, if you bring a fresh car out there for that, you're gonna be sitting in a good spot. You're gonna have fun there.
Yeah, I'm gonna haul a fresh car there. I'm just debating whether I want to take a Lumina, a Camry, or a Crown Vic.
Well, you got a pile of all of them, I'm sure. So you can flip a coin and take one.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe it.
Yeah.
W bodies do well there, but I've seen the Crown Vics do okay too.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, I'm glad that everything went well for you. For how many years in a row is this now that you've been at Mayhem?
10 years. All of the whole time that Tory ran it, I've been to Mayhem.
It's cool. Tough. It's tough thinking that this was his last one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
You never know. Come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, that's true.
We teased him a little bit about that last week when we had him on, but a very fitting send-off for Tory Schutte, successful Metal Mayhem, going in the books, Bad Ronnie, building a car on-site, making it to the feature. Nice run for him, and then the win, of course, going home with Bobby Whitaker. Can't really argue there. Ronnie, man, I wish you the best of luck coming up here locally. It's always good to catch up with you. I hope we can run into each other in the States here before too long.
Yeah, right on. Hope to see you guys soon.
We'll see you later, Ronnie. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
Ronnie, coming and hanging out with us for a few minutes. We are just about out of time. We got to get to the way they got the golf podcast coming in this evening. So that is going to do it for episode number 234. Appreciate all the folks that came on to hang out with us for a little while. That is going to wrap it up. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Forking it. That's
you know,
it.
We've touched on it quick, though. Ronnie is definitely one of the great guys of the sport.
Isn't he always happy,
always, you know, wanting to support. It's good to see a guy just go out and have fun like he does. It's really cool.
I'm trying to think of how many other people have 6-7 derbies in at this point. I mean, Steven Sickles, he's got to be up there.
Yeah.
Close to that. Mad Mike's probably 4 or 5.
I don't think so.
At best.
He's
Devin Germain's at four or five, maybe four. Tom Henderson, I think
three?
He might only be at 2 or 3. Mike Klinger, he's up there.
Yeah.
He's up there 4 or 5 again. But, I mean, seriously, like, and we joked about it. It's like, oh, you're taking it easy. He says, oh, it's going to pick up. It's going to. He'll have 30 derbies in by the time he's done.
Yeah, you mentioned Klinger. I got a chance to hang out with him and Brett Saturday for the derby and talk. And what a really cool dude. You know, I don't get to see Mike too often. You know, see him at Bash for a little bit. And, you know, usually congratulate him after he wins the Warrior Class Hammer Tiffany. But,
sort of a ritual.
Yeah, it was just cool to get to hang out and, you know, these big shows, you get to talk to people you don't really know and, you know, talk to him about his motor setups. And people be upset if they knew, you know, that he just uses junkyard motors and puts a timing gear and chain in them and goes out there and just drives the snot out of them. I mean, mm-hmm. just, you know, he's one of those guys that's old school and, you know, does it. He ain't about the fancy stuff. He's just about the results. And
yep.
They get them. So.
Housekeeping note, we're going to be off next week, and then we're going to miss the next 2 Mondays. So the week of the 4th of July, we'll be back on at some point. I'm thinking probably like that Thursday, depending on how things go. We'll probably target some doors in there, but we're going to be off the next 2 Mondays. So if you're
Chris is going to take a vacation.
If you're adjusting your programming, you can keep your eyes on the updates as they come. We won't be on at all the week leading up to the 4th of July, the week of the 4th of July. We'll find some time in there. We'll squeeze a show in for everybody. That's going to do it for us here at the North Park Building at Academy Square, episode 234 in the books. We'll see everybody next time.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.